This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week. Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host, as always. This week on the show, we have a multi-time guest, our friend and yours, Ben Greiner. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Bradley. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
So you've been in the Apple IT ecosystem for, what, 25 years now?
Yeah, that makes me sound old, but yes, since 1998. So maybe a little longer than you, but you've been in quite a long time as well, right?
Yeah, like 07. I think there's like, if you got in before Apple natively supported Exchange on the Mac, you're considered an OG. I think that should be the delineation.
Well, I was just thinking about this. Like when I first got into the business, you would sit down at a Mac computer. You would turn it on in the morning because it was never left on at night. It wasn't connected to a network, often not even a local network. There was no password. Do you remember those days? Did you ever work on a Mac where there was no password?
I do not.
And that was it. That was the technology we were dealing with. And you know, I was mostly dealing with creative, so it was printing issues and Quark Express and fonts and all those challenges that came with it. But it certainly has evolved and changed over the last 25 years. And I'm looking forward to talking about some of those changes and why I think we need further change.
Well, I think so much has changed with Apple and IT and the enterprise, but I think just like obviously how we use technology has changed. Like I sort of missed the world when technology was stationary. I saw like a meme and it said when the phone became cordless, like we became tied to it or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. Like there was a simplicity to, I just showed up at work, I worked, and then I went home. And you just left. Like when I left for lunch, like, you know, you just were at lunch. And like if someone needed you, you'd be like, oh, well, they're at lunch. And now it's like, well, let me just call them or let me just text them or I'll Slack them. And you're like, well, they're at lunch. Well, I mean, even if you're like, I mean, just nobody cares and nobody knows where you're at. It's like your remote job or whatever. But, you know, you do miss that simplicity of the quote unquote workstation.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of that simplicity, I think about the app choices that we had, you know, for many years on the Apple platform before everything moved to the cloud, before the iPhones. Like if you needed a solution that ran on Mac, you probably had either 0, 1, or 2 options to choose from. That was it. And today the choices really are kind of overwhelming, even for those of us in the IT industry. And they're changing so quickly. It's hard for all of us, I think, today to even keep up with all the changes.
I do wonder if like it's going to be one of those things where you just at some point, like you're like, I'm done adopting, you know, new technology massively. Like I think I could be nearing that place where you're like, I'm very content. No, we'll see. But like, I'm just like, I'm very content with what I have. I think a lot of that's like, I don't feel like glaring weaknesses in workflows. That I have. I'm like, oh, if my computer was slightly more powerful, this would work. I'm like, I'm good. I mean, I think so much is just so great. And it's like, I think it creates a little bit of a boredom when you're like, if the battery's just stayed full, like the technology I have today is so unbelievably perfect. I feel very blessed to be alive in 2025 using the technology we have. I always think about that Louis C.K. video from years ago, like talking about, like using internet on an airplane. And like when it goes down, we're all like, like, what is this crap? And then, like, in reality, we're being hurtled through the space. Like, you know, you should just be thankful that you're landing. And I think so quickly, so much of these amazing things just become second nature. You know, just the power you have in the palm of your hands or with your laptop or your iPad, like, it's absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just think about I don't know about your experience, but in mine, just moving from the Intel Max to the M series, the Silicon, it's like these things are really nice, really solid, really powerful.
Apple Silicon is I would argue in my lifetime, like maybe outside of some things around networking and internet speed. But outside of that, like, single instance, Apple Silicon is the biggest upgrade on the Mac in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we first saw that on the iPad, especially with the battery life. Like, I remember when I got my iPad, my first M series iPad, I was like, the battery life on this is incredible. Sometimes I still wonder why my phone drains as fast as it does, but maybe it's not too much.
Now, on that same note, you've been on the show multiple times. We've talked a lot about Apple and you know, device management strategy. We talked last time about Vision Pro, device management, all the things. But you're back with a new project that immediately caught my eye, and it's called Rethink Tech. And so I guess to start, why do we need to rethink tech in the enterprise?
Yeah, well, great question. And I think, just to clarify, maybe my approach is a little less enterprise and more small to mid-market business, although certainly I can work in the enterprise. I think Apple is more focused on the enterprise, and so I think of it as Apple's working on the enterprise, working their way down. I'm going a little lower in the market, trying to work my way up. But this was born out of the experience I had over the last 5 years. In 2020, after 20 years of running an Apple-focused technology company and a managed service provider focused 100% on Apple, you know, I was acquired. I think we talked about this on a previous episode. My business was acquired by a much larger organization, Windows-focused. And so now I'm on the inside of a Windows-oriented organization, which I've always felt, and, you know, all the audience here maybe feels this, whether you're in-house or outsourced, you're Apple-focused, but you don't always have a seat at the table, the big table, the big boys' table. You're kind of always off to the side or the little kids' table. And that, of course, has changed and improved over the years, no doubt. But I've always thought that Apple should have more of a market share than they have today. I mean, I was listening to one of your episodes from a couple weeks ago. And the guest was talking about how Apple is still a minority percentage in the workplace. They're still crawling rather than running into businesses. And I think, why is that when we have such a great ecosystem, such a great solution on the Apple platform? And what I've lived in working with these Windows organizations, not just the one that acquired my company, but also through Adergy when I was consulting with MSPs from around the world. A lot of them, they are the gatekeepers. They are the ones still keeping Apple from growing in the market. So many people I talk to, and Bradley, again, I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm just sharing this because when we're in our Apple bubble, when we're living and talking to only Apple people, we think, no, that's not true. Apple's very popular. Apple's out there. I see it everywhere. But in the business world, in the mid-markets, and of course in the enterprise, the people keeping Apple from growing even more are those IT teams with outdated views. And I heard someone recently shared this term with me. They said corporate folklore. And I like that. Corporate folklore. They have told themselves these stories for so long that they still believe them. And one of those stories is that the Apple devices are too expensive for business. And I don't think that's true anymore. I think there's a lot of data that says that's not true. So this is a long-winded way of saying that if I'm trying to find those IT teams who really want to migrate to Apple, and stop that Windows only centric view of the world and make it Windows and Apple. I'm not saying you should replace all of your Windows devices. I'm saying it should be Windows and Apple. And frankly, for those teams, and I'm saying this here in the safe space of Apple only audience, if those IT teams aren't willing to do that, then I have a network of business owners and business leaders that I'm going to reach out to and say, are you satisfied with your IT? Let's do a run around IT, the gatekeepers, and let's get you some real technology that can actually benefit your business and amplify the message that we all want. And you've been doing it for years, Bradley. Let's amplify that message of Apple is a great solution for business. We just need to get rid of these old school gatekeepers. So that's my, you asked probably for a one sentence response of what I'm doing. I gave you a diatribe, but, or a monologue. I don't know. I'm not very good at words.
You mentioned the whole misnomer that Apple's still too expensive in the business world. And it kind of even calls back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show about how we've used technology in the workplace has changed. I mean, again, you're talking about in a world where my first job out of college was I did tech support at an ISP. I was on the phone, everything was in the browser. I was entering tickets and et cetera. Actually, one of the apps that was, and again, I'm dating myself, I had to use PuTTY to access. That shows you, again, I'm going to date myself there. Is a $1,000 M2 MacBook Air too expensive for that job in that time period? Maybe. But if you look at probably how that job is being ran today, it's probably a lot different. They're probably using a lot different tools. And so I think in some ways it's not that – yeah, Apple's come down. I guess you could say Apple's gotten less expensive over time, but I would argue that PCs have gotten more expensive to get a usable one. I mean, I kind of think about the things like when you're watching like a QVC or an HSN, like you see the PCs they sell on there, like, oh, it's $350 for this laptop. And I can look at the specs and think, yeah, that laptop's going to last you about a year and a half and you're going to hate it. And I think just that's the world that we've moved away from. And so when you just look at like the needs that you have of a device have grown, but then I think one of like the things that small businesses really are not thinking about when it comes to technology is how the technology holds its value, and how you can leverage that in the future for a better total cost of ownership. So again, if you think through like, again, let's say you just, I mean, I'm just throwing a number like, hey, I'm a 10-person company. We're going to buy 10 MacBook Pros. We're going to use them for 3 years, and then we're going to replace them. The resale value on those MacBook Pros is going to be significantly higher than anything you're going to have on the PC side.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I constantly remind people of that. Like, you know, don't just let your old technology sit in a drawer. Just trade it in. Get some money back, especially on the Apple devices. And so many people are surprised at how much they do get back when they submit those for recycling. I just had a conversation with an MSP in the UK, and typical situation. The Apple team feels like they could be doing more. The MSP is focused on Windows, so of course they're doing Apple, but they could be doing more of it. And one of the lead administrators said to me, he said, yeah, our CIO, our chief information officer, just got a new MacBook Air. And he had it for a couple weeks. And he came over to me and said, you know, I just ran the, he probably said ran the maths, ran the numbers on this. And he said, this MacBook Air is cheaper than the Dells we're buying. Now, I unfortunately didn't have the ability to dive deeper and figure out what number, you know, how did he come to that conclusion? I have not spoken to him, but people are starting to get it. And I think some of it, based on what I heard, was that yeah, the Dells were cheaper, but they didn't last as long. There was no trade-in, and they broke a lot more often. So the information is out there, and the argument is overwhelmingly in favor of Apple. So why is it that Apple doesn't have closer to a 50-50 market share? Why are they still stuck at a minority percentage in the businesses? And I think, again, it goes back to those old, that corporate folklore that's being passed around. And we all of us in the Apple ecosystem need to try to, so I'm sounding like a politician here, reach across the aisle, bridge the gap, and try to get the message out, because we know it, but a lot of people don't. And so that's what led me to Rethink Tech. And it also led me to the Rethink Tech Club, which is, hey, join the club. If you want to amplify this message, I want to help you. And so my ask to the audience here, even though you haven't asked me yet, Bradley, I'm going to just throw it out there. My ask is, you know, sign up for my Rethink Tech newsletter. And I'm not a big writer. I'm not going to inundate you. It's going to be once a week, put something simple and fresh out. And I want to hear from others what's working for them, so we can all work together to amplify this message. And going back to something I said earlier, you know, I think when I say work together, I really mean it, because IT and technology and the rapid change that we're all seeing is very challenging today. And IT has historically tried to do it on their own, and businesses have kind of let them do it on their own, or felt that that was their role. And business leaders only got involved when things broke down, and then they're upset with IT and they want to know why. That's too late, right? Today, the business leadership needs to be involved from the start for better security, for simplification and efficiencies. I mean, app sprawl is real. How many businesses now have we were talking earlier about the choices. We used to have one or two app choices in the early days of the Mac platform. How many app choices do we have today? It's overwhelming. And if you don't have a handle on that in your business, even small businesses, I would go into so many companies and say, what are your main app stack? They give me the big four. They give me Office, maybe something on the web, maybe some special project or special software. But then you go out on the floor, you talk to everyone who works at that company, and now you've found another 20, 30 apps that people are using. And I think if leadership got involved, and if leadership had conversations with IT, if IT and leadership met in the middle, things would go much more smoothly. And that's really what I'm trying to do, because when I was running an MSP, some of my best clients still frustrated me because they didn't come to the table and tell me what they wanted, or they wouldn't have those conversations with me about why it's important that they tell people to restart their machine when that dialog box pops up and says, there's a security patch, restart now. Does that make sense? Or am I just the crazy guy screaming on the corner?
No, it makes perfect sense. I think what I'm hearing from it, and we'll see if it lands well, is that business leaders, not IT, but business leaders should take a first principles approach to how they interact with technology, what kind of technology they're using, and is it the best, or are there better options out there? And is that sort of, you know, I know you have a program that is on the website is a 90-day detox for business owners. And you're looking, because you kind of get into that, like, well, we've always done it this way mindset. So mm-hmm. I think it is important to sometimes take a step back and be like, what is actually the problem to be done? Like, is this the, and it, you know, the thing is, like, you can even make the argument, like, well, maybe it's not Mac. Maybe, like, your business would do well with, like, a VDI setup. Like, you know, so let people bring their own computer and just let them, you know, use a VDI interface. Like, there's, you know, a thousand ways you could end up. But I think it's always helpful to, like, take a step back and to audit what you have and figure out if it's best or not.
Yeah. What works for you? What works for your business? You know, I remember I had a client or a prospect come to me once, maybe 10 years ago, and say they wanted to move to Apple and they were on Windows. So this is like, hey, this is a dream. This is, you know, you want people to come to you and say, I want to move away from Windows to Apple. But when we did an audit of all of their needs required at the time Windows 100%. They could not make the move to Apple. So the only way to do that would be to run a VM on Apple. And I just didn't want to put them through that. And I didn't want to support that. That was not an easy solution to support at the time. And they were very upset with me. They're like, but we want to move to Apple. Like, well, in this situation, it makes absolutely no sense for you to move to Apple. And so I think that's a way of saying there are these habits that people have formed, whether it's in IT or business. And, you know, after 20 years from basically 2000 to 2020, things have changed dramatically, and they've changed super dramatically since the pandemic in the last 5 years. So it really is time to rethink your IT and to question your IT and to get involved with your IT. And hopefully we can all take that message, learn from it, amplify it, learn how to communicate better and get more people involved, because we're all in this together and we cannot do it alone, because the security threats are fast and furious. And if you don't have all eyes on the ball, you're going to miss it. You're going to swing and miss.
Well, I mentioned that story, and I've said it on past shows or in past articles. The growth of SaaS in the enterprise and in the workplace has been a huge part, I think, of Apple's success and continued growth, is because you don't necessarily have that. That's not, you know, your first issue is like, oh, our CRM tool doesn't work on Mac. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it does now, because it's everything's web-based. You know, the number of native apps on the computer that I use are small. And again, but that doesn't mean I don't love a Mac-like experience. So like I use, and I would even put apps like, say, Slack in that ecosystem. Like these are essentially like web wrappers, you know, that's mm-hmm. Electron-based. Like it virtually is going to run the same on Mac and PC and Linux. Sure, the Slack app is basically the same. But I still love the overall experience of using the Mac on that side. So I think that, and that's a good, a lot of things you can uncover well, and that's made it easier. Do you, you know, when you talk to, say, companies that are PC only and they're hesitant to look at Mac, do you think it's a lack of knowing how to manage them and unsure of the security / compliance results from that? Or like, what is the hesitation there?
Yeah, I think it's fear of change and fear of the unknown. And they just don't feel comfortable and confident in making that move. Because think about zero touch. The zero touch workflow, automated device enrollment, we all know that. We know it's great. We were pushing it at my MSP, you know, before the pandemic. So I think starting in 2018, full on 2019, pandemic accelerated that. There's still so many businesses, IT businesses, that are not doing that. And why? Because they don't understand how they can make money if they don't touch a machine. That's my view.
Yeah.
It's not every team. It's not the teams probably listening to this podcast. But there are overwhelmingly a number of teams out there who don't understand the new way of doing things, for how they fit into that new way of doing things. And frankly, when I say, well, this is the new premium white glove service that you offer your customers, and that frees you up to have more strategic conversations with them, that scares them, because they don't know how to have strategic conversations with their customers. They only know how to work on that box that sits in front of their customer.
To check and it makes sense on the MSP side. You have to spend a lot of political capital to necessarily recommend changes, where if you just need to solve, like you just need to close the ticket. I mean, it's not wrong. Like the MSP world is let me keep these tickets closed, make sure our clients are up and working. It's hard to have that, hey, let's re-architect your strategy here, because that takes a lot of work.
Right. I mean, it can take a lot of work. And I think oftentimes it's thought of as more complex than it really is, because they think about it in Windows terms. I mean, there's tons of data out there, and we know this, that it takes fewer techs to support an Apple ecosystem than a Windows ecosystem. And I know, you know, maybe not in all situations, but in a lot of situations, I believe that to be true. But when you're talking to a Windows team and you're talking about scaling Apple, all they think about from their Windows point of view is, wait, you want to add, you know, 50, 100, 1,000 Macs? How are we going to support that? We got to hire people who know Apple. We got to train people. We don't have that ecosystem in place. And they get afraid of it when in actuality, it's not as much work if you look at it through the Apple lens of bringing on people who want the Apple platform. They're already accustomed to taking care of their computer themselves. Yes, you still want to manage it. Yes, you still want to protect it and secure it. But it's a different relationship. It's not a relationship of you and the computer. It's a relationship of you and the person using the computer. And that's a different mindset. So, yeah, it goes back to the fear of the unknown and the corporate folklore and the things that are repeated again and again. And I'm just trying to change that, you know, with the detox program, as I call it today. And then for those MSPs that really are open to the idea and want to support Apple, like, don't reinvent the wheel. I've done it. I can help you. I can help you get there faster. That's the idea behind it. And for everyone else, the advocates, the people listening to your program, you know, let's join together and figure out how we can improve our communication. Because at the end of the day, I think that's where we all struggle. The technology is rock solid. It's gone from crashing in the 2000s to rock solid today. But we need the communication to catch up so we can figure out what we really need and don't need in technology.
Ben, this has been great. And I think what you said is really important. The technology is rock solid. And I think for me, especially, the best thing is that, like, success with on the deployment side is known, and there's not a lot of quote unquote hacks you gotta, you know, force through and brute force it. There's just so much of that is just handled now. We're gonna have a link to Rethink Tech. It's in the show notes. It's rethinktech.club. You can sign up for the newsletter. If you want to talk to Ben, you can chat with him. Again, it's you know, great if you're you know, at an organization that's, you know, looking to bring in more of Apple's ecosystem into your workplace, but don't know where to start, this would be a great starting point for you. So, Ben, thanks as always for coming on the show. Again, check out the show notes. It's rethinktech.club, and it'll be in the show notes if you want to learn more and chat with Ben. And we'll talk to everybody next week.
Yeah, thank you.